Welcome to this deep dive into the world of injection molding. It seems like you're pretty interested in the best practices for testing molds. Is there a new project you're working on? Or maybe you're just curious about how those everyday plastic things are made. Whatever it is, we're about to uncover the secrets to making sure those molded products turn out perfectly every single time.
It's amazing, isn't it? How much precision goes into even the simplest parts. And you're right, effective testing can make or break the whole process.
Definitely.
Your sources here cover so much, from how that molten plastic flows to, those tiny little flaws you can't even see. We'll make sure you understand every step of the way.
Let's kick things off with something that caught my eye. Mold flow analysis, or MFA. One article even described it like watching a river of plastic. Pretty cool imagery. But what's the practical side of it?
It's like having a crystal ball for your design. Imagine being able to see how the plastic will behave before you even make the mold. MFA simulates the whole injection process on a computer, so you can see exactly what's going to happen, where the problem's going to be. And then you can tweak your design, to avoid costly mistakes.
So that means preventing defects, like warping or those sink marks,
Exactly.
and picking the right spot for the gate. That's where the plastic's injected, right?
Yeah.
And I guess MFA helps choose the right material, too.
Absolutely. No more guessing games, right? No more oops moments when you're actually making the product. All that wasted material and wasted time, wasted money, gone. And for your project, this could mean less prototyping and getting your product to market faster.
Oh, interesting.
One of your sources even lists all these benefits: minimizing waste, less defects, even making the final product more durable with a better finish.
That's huge. Sounds like MFA can really change the game for anyone working with injection molding. Okay, so let's say our design is perfect, thanks to MFA. What's next? How do we make sure the actual mold lives up to that perfect design?
Now we're talking about the physical mold itself, and that's where dimensional inspection comes in. We've got to make sure the mold is made with absolute precision to match the optimized design.
The Sherlock Holmes of mold making, huh? I noticed you have some articles on coordinate measuring machines. Those are the CMMs, right? And laser scanners. Are those tools really necessary, or is it all just for show?
They're essential for getting that level of precision. Imagine a mold with all these tiny details and complex shapes. Trying to measure everything by hand would take forever and be full of errors.
Yeah, I see your point.
That's where CMMs come in. They use these probes in a coordinate system to map out all the dimensions of the mold.
So they're like robotic detectives, huh? Mapping out the scene of the mold. And what about the laser scanners? What's their role?
Laser scanners, they're like the sprinters. They use light to capture a 3D image of the mold's surface, perfect for quick checks and analyzing the surface texture.
So choosing between the CMM and the laser scanner really depends on what?
It depends on the mold itself, how much detail you need, how complex the shapes are.
Like any skilled craft person, it's about picking the right tool for the job. But
Ah.
why is it so important to get those dimensions perfect?
Think of it like building a skyscraper. If the foundation's even a little off, the whole thing's messed up. Same thing with molds.
I see.
Little mistakes can turn into big problems. Warped parts, inconsistent sizes, a whole bunch of wasted material. Dimensional inspection helps minimize those risks. Make sure the mold is the perfect foundation for high-quality, consistent parts.
Okay, so we've covered the digital design with MFA and making sure the physical mold is precise. But something else caught my eye in your sources. You included an article about functional testing. I always thought of that as a software thing, making sure buttons click and the code works.
You're right. Functional testing is a big part of software development, but the main idea applies to everything. Making sure things actually work,
Got it.
In software, you test if someone can use a website without any problems. In injection molding, you're testing if that final product actually does what it's supposed to do. Does the lid fit tight? Does the hinge move smoothly?
So it's not enough for the parts to just look right. They actually have to perform in real life.
Exactly.
So with functional testing, you might test the strength of a part or how it handles extreme temperatures, right?
That's right. It helps catch those hidden flaws that could cause problems later.
Like what?
Imagine a gear that breaks under pressure, or a container that leaks. Functional testing finds those problems before they affect the user, before they hurt a company's reputation.
It's all about quality from every angle. We've covered a lot of ground here. Design optimization with MFA, making sure the mold is precise, and verifying that everything actually works. But I have a feeling there's more to this story.
There is.
Is this just the tip of the iceberg?
The world of mold testing is always changing. There are always new technologies and new ways of doing things. In fact, some of your sources talk about some pretty cutting-edge advancements.
That's what I was hoping to hear. Tell me more about that DNA sequencing.
We'll definitely dive into that and some other fascinating techniques in our next segment. So we were talking about how technology is changing the game for mold testing.
Yeah.
Before we get to that DNA sequencing, I noticed another technique in your sources, infrared thermography.
Infrared thermography. Yeah, I've heard of that for home inspections, you know, finding heat leaks and stuff. But how does that apply to mold testing? It's not like the molds themselves are giving off heat, right?
The molds themselves aren't hot. But infrared thermography can find these little temperature differences.
Okay.
That can reveal hidden problems inside the mold.
Like what?
Trapped moisture.
Oh, interesting.
Those damp spots can be a breeding ground for bacteria, you know.
Yeah.
Or they can even mess up the cooling process, and then you end up with parts that aren't consistent.
So it's like a preventative thing, catching those problems before they affect the final product.
Exactly.
And you don't have to drill into the mold to check for moisture.
Nope. Infrared thermography gives you a quick, non-invasive way to assess the whole mold.
Uh-huh.
It's not about replacing those other tests. It's just adding another layer of analysis.
Yeah. Right, right.
To make sure you get quality and consistency.
Now, about that DNA sequencing.
Mm-hmm.
Using genetics to analyze molds, it sounds pretty futuristic, to be honest.
It really shows how technology is blending different fields together. One of your sources talks about this being used for molds for medical devices.
Oh, wow.
Imagine a tiny bit of contamination gets in the mold.
Yeah.
Regular tests might miss it. But DNA sequencing can pinpoint exactly what kind of bacteria or fungus is there.
No way. Even if it's just a trace?
Even if it's just a trace.
That's amazing. Like having a microscopic detective, making sure those medical devices are totally sterile. Are there any downsides to this DNA approach?
Well, you need special equipment and expertise. So it can be more expensive than the traditional tests.
Yeah, I see.
But when you absolutely can't have any contamination, DNA sequencing gives you that level of certainty.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's hard to beat.
It seems like all these technologies we've talked about, MFA, dimensional inspection, functional testing, infrared, and now DNA sequencing, they each have their own strengths, right? And they all play a part in ensuring quality. But where do humans fit into all of this? Is mold testing becoming completely automated?
It's easy to think technology will just replace human experts, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Really? Why not?
Actually, the more advanced these technologies get, the more you need skilled technicians.
Hmm.
People who can understand the data, spot those subtle patterns, and make smart decisions.
So it's not humans versus machines. It's humans working with machines to get better results.
Exactly.
Okay.
Machines are great at being precise and fast, but they don't have that intuition, that problem-solving ability that humans have.
I see what you mean.
A good technician might see something in the data that an algorithm misses.
Yeah.
Or they might recognize a potential issue just from experience.
Right.
You can't replace that human element.
That makes sense. Speaking of the human side of things, one of your sources mentioned the importance of design in mold testing. It's not just about testing the mold itself. It's about designing products that are easy to test too, right?
You're getting at design for manufacturing,
right?
Or DFM.
DFM.
It's so crucial, and people often forget about it. A good designer who understands how molds are made and tested, they can create products that are just easier to manufacture and test.
So it's all about collaboration, the designers and the engineers working together.
Exactly.
Making sure the designs are not only good looking and functional for the user, but also optimized for the whole manufacturing process.
Think about it. A simple change to the design, like increasing the draft angle, can make a huge difference.
The draft angle, remind me what that is again?
It's that little slope that helps the part come out of the mold easily.
Oh, right, right.
That can prevent defects and make production run smoothly. DFM is all about thinking ahead, anticipating problems, and designing them out from the very beginning.
It sounds like that teamwork is key for efficiency and cost effectiveness.
It is.
And ultimately for making better products. But with all this advanced technology and collaboration, is there still room for improvement in mold testing? What's next for this field?
That's a great question. And there are so many possibilities. Some of your sources actually highlight some new trends that are pretty exciting. We should talk about those in our last segment.
We've gone from tiny DNA to the big picture of how design affects everything. Mold testing really is a mix of art and science, and it never stops changing. So what's on the horizon for this field?
One thing that's caught my eye is the rise of 3D printed molds.
3D printing for molds?
Yeah. Traditionally, molds are made from steel or aluminum,
Right.
which can be really expensive and take a long time to make. But with 3D printing, you can create those intricate designs, even use special materials, and it's way cheaper and faster.
So it's opening up mold creation to more people, smaller companies, even hobbyists who couldn't afford traditional methods. But how do those 3D printed molds actually perform? Are they durable? Are they precise? Can they really compete with the traditional ways?
That's the big question.
Yeah.
But the technology's getting better all the time. New materials, new processes. Some of your sources mentioned a new type of resin. Super durable. Can handle high temperatures and pressure. Perfect for injection molding.
So it's not just for prototyping anymore. 3D printing could be used for real production molds.
It's definitely heading that way.
Wow.
And as it gets even better, we'll probably see even more uses in mold testing.
Like what?
Imagine making custom molds on demand, tailored to exactly what you need for that specific product or test.
Mm.
That kind of flexibility could really shake things up in the industry.
It's like a Star Trek replicator for molds. But you mentioned virtual and augmented reality earlier. It's hard to picture those being used in a factory setting.
It's not about replacing hands-on work. It's about making it better. Imagine a technician wearing AR glasses.
Yeah.
And those glasses show them digital information right on top of the physical mold.
So they could see, weak spots highlighted?
Yeah. Or they could get step-by-step instructions for a complicated inspection.
So it's like giving them superpowers, helping them see things they couldn't see before.
Exactly. And VR can be great for training and practice. Think of a virtual environment where technicians can try different mold testing methods. They can find problems, test solutions, all without any real-world risks. It's safe, it's cost-effective.
Like a flight simulator, but for mold testing, it seems like technology is pushing the limits in this field. But as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one thing you want our listener to remember?
This. Mold testing is a never-ending journey. It's about learning and getting better. Whether you're an expert or just starting out, stay curious. Explore new technologies. Never stop asking questions.
I like that.
The more you understand about this, the better you'll be at making amazing products.
That's great advice. It's been fascinating exploring the world of mold testing with you. And to our listener, we hope this deep dive has sparked your own curiosity and given you a new appreciation for the creativity behind the everyday things we use.
Thank you for joining us. Until next time.